You are a good psychiatrist.
Thank you.
Something I can't really lay claim to after today. How could I have so misjudged that man?
Well, he's undeniably charming, for one thing, and he can be lucid for long stretches of time.
Yes, but you weren't fooled. Somehow you picked up on some tiny, tiny clue that I missed. You remember what it was?
Yes. Midway through our interview, he took off his trousers and tried to put them on the cat.
And that's so cute. That's from Frasier. And that's Niles and Frasier talking, obviously. And think in your own life. You know, we all are, in one sense, a psychologist. We're all trying to make sense of the people around us. And to the extent that we value our own lives, we're trying to work hard to make sense of what's going wrong in our lives and how to turn that around, how to make that just glide, how to be able to glide through life and to be able to deal with the bumps much better. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness, and my number is toll-free 1-877-DRKENNER. That's toll-free 1-877-DR-KENNER. And you can also visit my website, drkenner.com. I'm a clinical psychologist here to answer your questions on any problems you're having with family or friends or with yourself, or just wanting to ask a question to a psychologist. And right now, let's turn to the phones. And John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, doctor.
Yeah, you have a question on this 12-step method?
Yes, I've been in one 12-step recovery program for 15 years, and I'm finding a need to be in another fellowship as well. And one has worked very well for me, and I'm struggling to maintain a sobriety in this other fellowship. And your name came up, and I'm wondering, is it rational for me to rely on 12-step recovery programs for so that I don't practice the addictions that seem to be compulsive in me.
Okay. What are your habits?
I've had alcoholism, and then the other one is the food and sex addictions.
Okay. When we call them addictions, what do we assume?
That we're powerless over them, and that my life has become unmanageable.
And then it becomes how easy or hard to change. If a doctor says, Ellen, you've got diabetes, I don't have it, but if he says that, then I have to work within the bounds of diabetes if I want to live longer and happier, right?
Yes.
When you're told you have an addiction, it's like a rubbish stamp on you that then tells you what about the change process.
How do you mean?
Well, if somebody tells me that, let's say that I drink too much, and somebody tells me it's an addiction, you know, it's partly genetic, it's partly maybe, you know, habits from a long time ago, but regardless, you need to give yourself up to a higher power. You need to recognize that you're an alcoholic for life. You can never let down your guard. And that you'll need to go to meetings and to have a sponsor. What type of view is that presenting to me?
That I'm relying on no hope, really. The only hope then is to do what others do, and that's to, you know, get a sponsor, read the big book, go to meetings, and practice abstinence.
Right. And now let's say that you heard somebody have a different approach and they say, listen, John, or if I use myself, listen, Ellen, you have been drinking way too much. Let's figure out why you're trying to escape, because alcohol works. I mean, in quotes, works. It helps you feel better when you're psychologically not feeling well, when you're confused, your mind is muddled, or you feel guilty, or you feel depressed, or you feel anxious. I mean, it people use it for a reason. They're not stupid, right?
Right.
So if I say, let's figure out what's going on in your life and what thinking skills you could use that would make you not even want to turn to alcohol, and let's take it, if you want, one step at a time. I mean, you can't overload a person, but it's not one step at a time in terms of abandoning your mind to a higher power. It's loving your mind, embracing your mind, being willing to face good facts about yourself. Some people are running away from actually very good traits that they have that they feel unfortunately guilty for. Maybe they're ambitious and they feel guilty for being too selfish. They want the better things in life and their parents don't want them to go a certain route. That's an unearned guilt, and it would be much better for them to recognize that that's an unearned guilt and deal with it rather than just continuing a habit. I agree, it turns into a habit, but I don't see it as an addiction, and habits are something you can break, of turning to alcohol as a means to deal with problems that are in your mind. So if I said to you, listen, you don't have to be an alcoholic for life, and AA is not the only route. There are rational recovery programs, and you can have a cognitive therapy approach. Or there are other approaches, too, that are effective. I mean, people respond differently to different interventions. But you can gain the thinking skills that can help you face head-on whatever the main problems are that are driving you to drink. Do you eat too much? Is that it?
Right.
Are you morbidly obese?
No. I just binge on sweets, cookies. I can eat a box of cookies at a setting.
Oh, so can I. But I have changed. I mean, as a childhood, I used to sit with the marshmallow, the chocolate-covered, I don't know what they were, graham cracker, delicious treats. I forget the name now. And I could go through a box at a time. I used to sneak and steal them out of the cabinet in the middle of the night when my parents were sleeping. I mean, talk about but I wouldn't call that an addiction. It's just a pursuit of values and knowing my parents wouldn't let me have it. I had them. And sex, are you very promiscuous? Are you taking risks that could put you at risk for health problems?
Certainly.
Yeah. Okay. Can you get yourself to a? I'd love to you to see, get you to a rational therapist. Are you in? You're in AA.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go back to my first point, which is that if you have a different view of yourself as capable of change, capable of seeing all of these three problems as in the past, would you like that view better?
Yes.
It's open. It's available to you. It's what Ayn Rand refers to as check your premises. Look at your core fundamental philosophical ideas about yourself, about the world, about others, about your future, and make sure that you are making choices and have the thinking methods to really thrive in life. And there are, I wish I could say there are a lot of objectivist psychologists. There aren't yet. The closest thing is a cognitive therapist, but some of them come from irrational theoretical orientation. So you can go to the academyofct.org. You can go to my website. That will list cognitive therapists around the country. You can go to my website, and there is a book, Sober for Good. That's an excellent book by Ann Fletcher.
Okay.
And that's just dealing with the alcohol problem. But if you can also, there at my website, Dr. Kenner, KENNER.com, there mm-hmm. is also a book, Changing for Good.
Okay.
And that just totally pulverizes the view that change is impossible. The idea of turning to a god or a mysticism really robs you of your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps you tied to that system and tied to that, in quotes, disease, which I don't see as a disease. Somebody,
okay.
I went to a talk yesterday and someone said, you know, if alcoholism is a disease, then so is, then if you have a gene for alcoholism, then you have to have a gene for speed, you have to have a gene for pot, you have to have a gene for, he said, it's bizarre. It becomes ridiculous if you look at that genetic approach to alcoholism. So listen, thank you so much for your call, and I wish you your own hard-earned sobriety and happiness. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke, who's world famous for his theories in goal setting.
The view that sexual pleasure is only physical unrelated to your mind, your values, or your character is very wrong. If sexual pleasure were nothing more than a physical sensation, you wouldn't need a partner. You would be happy with self-pleasuring. But this is not the case. To fully enjoy romantic sex, you need a partner, someone you deeply value. Masturbation or sex with someone who leaves you emotionally cold, such as a prostitute or a one-night stand, may provide physical relief, but such sexual experiences are impersonal and empty and brief compared to sex with someone you love.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com and buy it at amazon.com.